Okay. I'll call the Common Council meeting for Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, to order. It is approximately 7:01 p.m. And let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Sorry.
Okay.
Weigold.
Here.
Warwick.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from January 24th, our last council meeting. Were there any changes or corrections that needed to take place? Hearing none, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion.
A second.
Okay. Motion by Ben. Right.
Yep.
Second by Jackie. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by usual sign. Unanimous? Okay. Gene, you're up, sir.
Thank Rosie for getting me first on the agenda. I didn't know where I was going to fall here. For those that don't know me, I'm Gene Haskins, and I work for the Whitley County Soil and Water Conservation District. And the things we do out there, we work with the state and federal conservation programs, and we also work with the city and county. And one of the functions we provide for the county is we provide assistance with the MS4 program. Now, I'm just going to give you just a brief overview on what MS4 is for those that are unfamiliar with MS4 and what its functions are. MS4 stands for Municipal Separate Stormwater Sewer System, and it has been around for quite a while. It's been around since the 1987 Clean Water Act, and was spawned out of that federal law that was passed as the Clean Water Act. The MS4s were implemented on a size basis of the municipality or the city. Phase one of MS4 was for populations over 100,000. And at that time, Indianapolis was the only community, or only city, was the only city that qualified under phase one of the MS4 rule. But since then, the second phase of MS4 incorporates all your smaller cities and towns, and Columbia City at the time did not qualify population-wise to be an MS4 entity. But the state decided that there were 31 towns in Indiana that had the growth potential to push it in to phase two. So at that time, it was Columbia City was added into the second phase of MS4, along with 31 other smaller communities. And it's kind of interesting that Plymouth, Warsaw, and Columbia City were all didn't meet the criteria, but were all added at that time. And that's really become, I think, in my own perspective, it's I think it's a good thing that happened, and the community and the cities were able to get their feet on the ground and have a little more time to do some of the things that are required under MS4 law. Columbia City hired Boner Engineering in 2004 to develop a stormwater quality management plan. And they did this for, and I was not on board at the time, but it's a fairly comprehensive plan that how the details on how Columbia City is going to meet the MS4 requirements. And they did this for us, and this is something that's continually updated. In fact, we just did a couple of years ago, I think, we just did an update on this, and it's required to be updated every fifth year. So that's something that the Soil and Water assists the city with in updating these plans, the original Bonar plan that was made out. The handout that might be in your packet, or I hope it's in your packet, details what really there are six requirements on the MSP. And these are called minimum control measures. And the city has to meet these minimum control measures and are audited by IDAM on whether they, or how, and how well they meet these minimum control measures. These measures are public education and outreach. That's the one where Soil and Water gets involved very heavily, because we do a lot of and training with school-age children on the environmental side during the year. I'll get into that a little bit later. But it's a good match. And IDEM recommends that if they can, they would like to see your cities and towns and work with your local soil and water conservation districts, because there are some synergies there to be realized. I'll get into, as I said, that a little later. You got public involvement and participation, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site stormwater runoff control, and soil and water gets involved that with an inspection process. I'll get into these a little later in more detail. Post-construction stormwater management, and pollution prevention, good housekeeping for municipal operations. So that's basically what MS4 is, and it's not going to go away. It's going to be around for a while. And the second part of the handout I had that just gives you a few questions about the MS4 program that are kind of a general interest in, as far as who runs the MS4 program. Well, actually, Jeff Walker is the main focus for the MS4 program. And that we as Soil and Water employee, as I as a Soil and Water employee, Jeff and I meet on a monthly basis and discuss on what's upcoming and whatever, and what we must do to meet the obligations that are in our plan. So that's who basically runs the MS4. MS4 is a federally mandated program, and it's not a voluntary thing you get involved with. And although it's federally mandated, there is no federal or state funding that deals with MS4 and stormwater. And MS4 basically, one of the basic premises of it is to separate your stormwater from your combined sewer operations. Okay, and this is putting it rather simplistic, but that's actually what it does. When you have rain events like we've experienced here in the last 5 years, large rain events or large precipitation events, if your sewer systems are not separated, you get into a situation where your combined sewers, which handle the sewage and whatever, are overwhelmed in these rainwater events. The idea behind MS4 is to separate, you know, stormwater and combined sewer. You want your stormwater to go directly into your directly to your river, wherever you're going to, your ditch. What happens if that does not happen? The pollution control plant gets overwhelmed by a stormwater event, and that's why you have things being done like the equalization basin out here at the control facility. And that actually And if you can separate, you don't have those situations where you're going to get raw sewage dumped into the Blue River. And that's exactly what we don't want to happen. It's kind of interesting. We keep track of precipitation events pretty closely in the agricultural world out of soil and water. And you have what we call 100-year rain events. And these projects are constructed with 100-year rain events in mind. Well, we've had like three or four of 100-year rain events in the last 6 years. And I don't see any let-up in that. Things are changing a little bit. So that becomes even more important to keep those, that stormwater, try to keep it separated as much as we can. You look at the water bill and you see a stormwater fee. And that's actually what finances MS4, a good portion of it. All right. We reviewed the six minimum control measures. The future of MS4. That's one thing that Jeff and I, it's kind of difficult to keep up on because there are a lot of rule changes that occur on the federal and state level on MS4. And these rules are constantly changing, and we have to adapt and make sure our plans incorporate any rule changes that come down the pike. The rule, I perform a similar inspection capacity with the county, and I inspect anything that disturbs over 1 acre of land, and that's the criteria for construction within city limits, too. If it disturbs more than 1 acre, it kicks in a construction inspection plan for me. And depending on how the construction goes, I might be out there several times a month. Parkview Hospital was probably the biggest construction project we've had in quite some time. I got in kind of in the middle of that one, and we're seeing that come to a close now, even though there's still quite a little bit of construction up there, but it's mainly coming to a close. There are many counties in Indiana that are completely MS4, especially your urban and metropolitan, like South Bend and areas like that. And the meetings that Jeff and I go to, I think eventually you'll see countywide MS4 even in counties such as Swift. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any doubt about it. When that happens, the county is going to be under the same rules that the city has to operate under now. And that's going to be an interesting bridge to cross, to say the least. The last thing on my agenda here is what we've done this past year. I've condensed that down to one page for you. And I'll just kind of walk down and review some of the projects and whatever we've been involved in. Morsha's Park is still one of the top of the list because we've worked with that for 2 or 3 years now. And what's happening at Morsha's Park is eventually the road's going to slide into the Blue River if something's not done. We're getting very, very close there of a situation that's going to have to be active on here sometime in the future. And we looked at that, and we've had NRCS, the federal NRCS, have looked at it, and we've had a couple private contractors even look at it. And the problem's in the Blue River. Is there some way that we must, we're going to have to stabilize that bank on the east side if we don't want to have some major construction or a road move there in the park itself. So that's kind of an open thing on the agenda. Jeff and I have to work with the Whitley County Drainage Board on this, and so we have the county involved in it too because they're responsible for the maintenance of the Blue River as a regulated drain. So that's an open thing, and we're still looking at some different considerations here on what can be done out at the Blue River. Some of the public education things we do, we've got one coming up here in March, very shortly. It's called Ag Day. It's out at the fairgrounds. That's where we bring in all the first graders in the county. And we run them through a lot of stops and whatever, but it's a good time, too. We have an opportunity to get our message across on stormwater and whatever, even though it's a countywide event. And since you have access to every first grader in the county, it's an opportunity that, you know, you must grab. This is something the Soil and Water Conservation District's been involved with for years on Ag Day. In the spring, I do the wet and dry water test for the city. I pull samples from the Phillips Ditch and the Blue River at designated locations that are in our plan that Boner developed for us. And we send those in and to a lab in Fort Wayne and have those tested. We came up very well on those this past year. We didn't have anything that didn't pass or anything that was not in water that shouldn't be. In the past, we've had some... an E. coli problem out here at 4-H Fairgrounds, which we worked with 4-H Fairgrounds and whatever. This year, I don't know whether the rain wasn't there or whatever, but the spring it looked pretty good. The city, soil, and water are involved in Arbor Day activities with Mary Raver. And Mayor Daniels, he'll probably be involved in that this year because we plant a tree and we give a tree to every, I think it's third grader at Mary Raver. We've always wondered how many of those trees got home, and if they got home, how many got planted, but it's the idea that counts, and this has been going on for quite some time, too, and that's the tree board also works with the city and the soil and water on that.
Gene?
Yes?
I just want to let you know that my tree that I got in third grade is planted outside of my parents' house. It's very, very tall. Just want you to know that it did get home and that it was planted.
Now that will be a great story for our day this year. Yeah. Be a great story. Part of Soil and Water's commitment to the city also is the fat oil and grease inspections and the fat oil and grease ordinance that was passed here several years ago that I visit every restaurant and whatever to make certain that their grease is disposed of in a proper manner and the record keeping is as it should be. Over the past few years, this job is becoming somewhat easier because this grease is becoming a valuable commodity and not something that's trash anymore. Almost everybody sells their grease now. So that's something that's kind of worked on the positive side. We've had our fat trapper program that Rosie's assisted with us, and we probably have at least over half the residents in Columbia City participated in the Fat Trapper program. It was a free, you don't get any free things. It was a free program, and it kind of got the message out that, you know, be kind of careful what you put down your drains because that causes the city problems when they have to go out and clean traps out, whatever, and have to pump grease that accumulated. The 4-H Fair, big event in the county, of course. We have a Soil and Water as booth out there, and I always put up our MS4 displays out there. And any brochures or information through MS4s taken through the 4-H Fair. One of the biggest days for the training or for the educational portion of our minimum control major are the fifth grade field days that are held in September at the 4-H Fairgrounds. And there you have a setup where we have seven or eight different stations where the kids rotate through them during the day. And each presentation is 20 to 25 minutes long. And it's a great way to get your stormwater message out. And I personally do that training on stormwater at one of the stops. And that's a great, even though it takes in more kids than just the city, that's a great way to get the message out. And you have over 450 students that rotate through there every fall. Things on the horizon here, Jeff and I are working on the IDDE program, which is illicit discharge detection and elimination. That entails actually doing, making sure nothing goes into the Blue River or Phillips Ditch that's not supposed to. And if it's going in there, and this is done by monitoring, we actually walk the ditches, I actually boat the river, try to once a year, just after a rain event, to see if there's any runoff, anything running into that river that shouldn't be. That's something that IDM's looking at now, and Jeff and I are developing a program for that. Now, this year, in conclusion here, was the first time that the Columbia City MS4 has been audited by IDM. We had IDM come out this summer. After several cancellations, they finally got there, and we were happy to see them. And she spent most of the day going through our records that we've kept, our programs that we run. We gave her a presentation, much a more detailed presentation as I'm giving you tonight and whatever, and she had access to everything that needed to be looked at. And then she went out and she actually did some physical inspections, especially on the city facilities. And at that time, we got our audit back, and there were no major violations at all during the audit. And I didn't really have anything where corrections were required either. And all the record keeping for the minimum control measures was in compliance with the IDM guidelines. She did have one thing to say about the maintenance facilities for the city, and she says that our maintenance facilities were one of the best she's reviewed in the state as far as housekeeping, record keeping, and just cleanliness, which was, we thought that was pretty good since all the work that Jeff and his staff put into that, waiting for her to come out to the audit.
We had several dry runs to
practice. And lastly, we had another audit this fall, and that concerns the construction runoff and minimum control measures that are in place for the inspection process, and that mainly entailed what I do, because I do the inspections for new construction and make sure erosion control measures, plans are written, are engineered, sent to me, and approved by me and I did. And I go out and physically make sure that these measures are in place and recommend any corrections at that point that need to be done. Rob Beck did this from IDM, and we got a report back several weeks ago, and we were happy to find out that we met all IDM requirements on record keeping and inspections, the process at that time. So we were relieved somewhat, because these inspections only are, I think, every 3 or 4 years, and gave us confirmation that we are on the right path, too. So we can continue to feel comfortable to continue what we're doing to meet the requirements for the state and federal. Are there any questions? Well, if not, I am done. And if anybody has any questions about MS4, you can start out where Jeff and I did. There's a little book, a book that's been published called MS4 for Dummies. And it gives you a lot of information. But there's a lot of information on the websites and whatever on MS4. If anybody has any concerns or whatever about construction activities, and you know, I could be contacted up at the stormwater office and be happy to, you know, assist anybody that has any problems.
Just real quick, two things. If you've been on our website, you'll note on the homepage that there is a report, a polluter location that Terry Weary is connected so that if anybody from the public suspects that some illicit or contaminated contamination of our stormwater system has been taking place, they can go on there and report it, and then we'll follow up officially. The other thing is that Gene's report tonight is part of the MS4, the Rule 13 IDEM requirement for reporting to the legislative body. So he has met that obligation tonight, and I thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Gene. Thank Appreciate you. It. Hope we didn't take you away from a sweetheart dinner or anything like that.
It's
so.
Ruined now.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, next up on our list is the ordinance 2012-1. We need to have a motion to read by title only. Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, Ben motions.
Second.
Okay, Dan seconds.
Do we need to take a vote on that?
Okay.
Ordinance 2012-1, an ordinance amending Chapter 102, Section 102.02, Private Emergency Alarm Systems of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Nothing has changed from the last time we read this, correct?
Okay,
I didn't believe so. Last time when we had chatted, if I remember correctly, this, of course, this ordinance was... or this amendment to an ordinance was basically to take the word shall to may, where an officer, when there's an alarm, has the discretion to write the ticket or not write the ticket, and it does give the discretion to the officer. Bill, is there any additional information besides that that you'd like to add?
No, that's the gist of it, I believe.
Okay, very good. Any other questions or comments or discussion on this ordinance? Okay, then I will accept the motion.
What are we having a motion for?
Would you like to make a motion to adopt the ordinance?
I move that we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Also in front of you is Ordinance 2012-2. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Okay. I'll say it.
Okay.
That's Ben or Bill.
Okay. Motion was by Nicole. Okay. Second was by Bill.
Ordinance 2012-2, an ordinance enacting and adopting a supplement to the Code of Ordinances for the City of Columbia City and declaring an emergency.
Okay. That would be great if you could explain.
Okay, every so often, at least maybe twice a year, maybe three times, we have to codify any ordinances that have been passed, and they're put in the book, or if you have a book, a big book. And once we get them codified, in order to for us to legally be using them, we have to have the ordinance that accepts that supplement. And so we usually do it on an emergency basis so everything's legal and up to snuff. So that's what this is. We just had an update that everybody should have got. And so we need this approved. Any questions? So really we need to pass it on an emergency basis. We only have one reading.
Okay.
So you want passed tonight?
Passed on an emergency basis for one reading.
Mm-hmm. I'll make the motion to pass ordinance 2012-2 on emergency basis.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. The ordinance has been adopted. Okay, next on the hit parade is live coverage for meetings. This is something that Terry and I had been discussing, I think, in the past when discussing with the council members. In the past, we talked about making the city government more open, and I guess one way to do that is to televise these common council meetings, board of works meetings, and other things to that extent. So out of that, I did ask Terry to just take a look at getting a quote of some sort on two different cameras. Is that right, Terry?
Correct.
Potentially provide that service for our residents. Terry, go ahead and fill in any and all of the blanks that I missed on that one.
Well, the mayor asked to have the council meetings and the Board of Works live for people to watch. So one solution we came up with is to have two cameras installed in the city council room that would give a live feed over the internet. So you would be able to go to a certain website and use a username and password and observe and listen to the council meetings over the internet. We designed it so that it would run on our secondary internet access line, so as not to cause an issue with our networks. And also that the ports that would be used would only be turned on the nights of the meetings. So basically, you would be able to sit at home or sit anywhere, log into the internet, access the specific website that's set up for it, you put a username and password in, which would be a generic one for everybody to use, and be able to watch the meetings and listen to them. You wouldn't be able to adjust the cameras. You're not going to be able to do anything to them other than just observe the meetings. So that was the simplest option that we could come up with that would get that out there right now. I mean, there's other options and other facilities to use, but for the internet feed, that seemed to be our best bet.
Does it then save it so you could go back and look at it later? Or?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can design it. We can do that, but it's not set up that way. It's just for
live view.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once it's done, it's done.
I mean, besides having a tape recorder, I've seen benefits by having a tape backup of the council meeting itself. I know I've experienced that with county commissioners and county council. I've seen the benefit of having a tape, visual tape backup. I guess, you know, it's Otto plays his on his own site when he comes in and does the county stuff. But I've also seen, you know, what would be the cost if we did something like that versus a live feed, you know, where people are just going to be sitting at 7 o'clock Tuesday night to watch a meeting, or they can watch it at their own convenience anytime if it's on a tape backup.
I think depending on who does it, I mean, if we do that internally, it's going to be, you know, the storage issue, then the access issue, and preferably it would be that better not to have somebody accessing our network at any time to view something that we store in here security-wise. I mean, if somebody can get through to certain things, they can get through to other things. But Eric Mulberg's here tonight also, and he was here and involved with us when we were looking at doing it on cable channels, you know, because we have the government access available to us. So it may be something that's similar that we could do two different ways, you know, provide a live feed and do a recorded feed too. I mean, there's a lot of different options. We were just looking initially to start getting it out there to the public access.
Well, I've just seen it on other counties and city websites where they have videotaped the meeting, you know, without having all the, you know, turning of the cameras and stuff. But that is, you know, archived, so to speak. You know, I understand the storage situation of that, but, you know, you could. It could possibly be placed on the website for a small period of time, you know, and then, you know, just work their way out through, you know, whatever we determined that to be. But I guess if I was looking and investigating it, I would rather see a tape backup so people can watch it anytime at their convenience versus a live feed. At least investigate that. You know, I understand what you've already done has been
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if we're doing it and storing it internally, our costs are going to go like this. Because we're going to need a new server, we're going to need a storage server, we're going to need, you know, we could probably use the cameras that the library has that we got with the government access to record it. You know, I mean, there's just a tremendous amount more work with that, but it's not like it's not impossible. But we can look at it and see what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
I guess I would go ahead and try to call some of these other counties and cities that are doing that and then see. I mean, again, this is more research, but.
Well, we can just talk to Eric because they do it over in Allen County.
Well, I'd hate to spend $2,300. I know it's not a lot of money when you talk about computer equipment and then nobody use it.
Right. Well, that's a very good point, Ben, because back in Tegmeyer's administration, we recorded it. And the next night I went out to a little hut out on Tower View and sat out there and played it back over there. I don't know that anybody ever watched it. We never heard one person say that they'd watched it. So, you know, how many people do we have here tonight? Mm-hmm. It's a good point. I mean, how much is it going to get used?
And I will say, to add on to that, that we have now started putting the audio recordings of all these meetings on our website, again, in another way of trying to be transparent to the citizenry. And quite frankly, I think this is a beginning of a discussion, and that's the reason why I had Terry put it on the agenda, because I know it is something that we're trying to do, and so this is a way in which we can get additional opinions and thoughts from you guys and gals of where we should go from a departmental standpoint, how we can start providing additional access through visual recordings.
Well, how long would it take to get started to do the live ones?
I'm sorry, what?
How long would it take to get started to do the live?
It's just ordering the equipment. I mean, SDS Communications is the one that gave us a quote. It would be ordering the equipment, getting it installed. I'd say probably less than 2 weeks, you could probably be up and running.
And if we were doing it live and we wanted to offer the recorded version of it, is that different equipment that you would need?
That's something I'd have
or additional equipment, I guess.
I don't know. I think if I'm not sure, Bill.
So you'd want to know ahead of time kind of what direction you wanted to go in.
Right.
It, in the interest of making it as accessible as possible to the public, I think the concept is very good. It makes sense to me, however, that it's recorded and accessible to people when it's convenient for them. I don't think you're any more likely to sit down at 7 o'clock on Tuesday and watch the council meeting than you are to come here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday and watch the council meeting. But you may, if it was a subject that interested you, may be able to do it after work on Monday or whatever as could be. So it seems that having it recorded is the most convenient thing, I would think, for people.
It's just having somebody to do that.
Having said that, if it's, you know, $1 billion, then
the other aspect is too. The quote had two different cameras in it. They would be able to watch both cameras at once. I'm not sure how well, if you could record that, if you record both cameras at once and get one screen, or, you know, there's some details to work out there that I don't know how that'll work.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is a way in which we can garner opinion from you. So any opinions that you have on where we should go with this, obviously, would be greatly appreciated.
Well, I hear you say kind of it's a issue of like where to store everything. Or
well, you know, when you start talking about storing video, I mean, video can get very large, and also how long are you going to store it? How much do you want? A year's worth? You want 6 months worth? You know. How much do you want to archive? So all that plays into your equipment size and abilities.
Well, I just feel like, I mean, I think recording it is fine because, you know, if people want to watch it, they can watch it. But you have the written and you have the
audio.
The audio tape. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think you'd have to keep them forever. I mean, you know, maybe make it available on
a
month.
Even because of the size of the audio, we only keep we're trying to see how that's going to work out on our website, mm-hmm. and what mm-hmm. our provider allows us as far as space, you know, mm-hmm. so because we don't house that internally, we house it on the outside. With
I'd be interested to hear, you know, just because I've seen how to go with the county council and commissioners, you know, see what kind of storage space we are talking about when you're going with feeds to the internet. versus a cable or what have you. I'd like to see what kind of, because I know I've checked out some of the county commissioner and council meetings on his website. So it's stored back over a period of time, and it does mean something. So, you know, I think it's worth investigating. I just don't know, you know, if the cost justifies the means. But the internet is an extremely powerful tool, more so than cable or any other type of media at this point. So I don't know if that helps give any kind of direction or not, but I think it's worth investigating even a little further.
I like the idea of being transparent, but my concern is how many people are going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder when the meetings were being taped up here and how many people actually looked at those. And so it appears to me that we need to somehow educate the community that these meetings are transparent, mm-hmm. that they're more than welcome to come, you know, because we can go through all this expense and no one looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, what's the point, you know?
Well, I think, you know, by talking with Otto, for example, you know, the number of hits he gets on his site. I mean, I know how many hits I get on our GIS site and our county website. I know mm-hmm. what that means. So I know, just for example, our GIS website's got hit 240 times on average a day from the county end of it. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's hard to keep track of.
That information's a little bit different and more important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
so the county records.
But that's just, I hate to say it like this, but that's how nosy people are about other, you know, what's going on.
But I think the factor of recording is going to be even, because there might be something that I would want to see at the end of it. I don't want to sit here for 2 hours and watch the whole meeting. But there might be a topic that I'd want to review. So if it was recorded, you could flip through that and watch that.
I can fast forward through the video as well.
Right. That's what I mean. You can.
So the county
on the live
now?
Cam, you can do that.
Right.
Huh. The county does that now? They record and store?
Well, through Otto.
I don't know who Otto is.
Yeah, that's the only way I know
Otto
is.
Otto Boucher. No.
Not our Otto.
Well, I hope not our Otto.
Yeah. It's Aaron's Otto.
So there's a website that he could tell us how many hits he has on his website?
I mean, I know.
Or you could find that out for us?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, if it's not worth doing, I mean, if he's not getting any.
I mean, I think that's reasonable to know how many people are.
I think it's all going to depend on what's on the agenda, too. I mean, if we're going to talk windmills, it might be a little more people in there.
Right.
You know, if we're going to talk about streets and
we
stuff
just start
like
putting
that.
Windmills
for the record,
on our agenda.
We will not be talking about just
wait
so we're clear about that.
So, you take Allen County's?
Yeah. My staff here. Fort Wayne and the county.
Granted, it's a larger community, but do you have an idea of how many hits it gets, or is it?
We also have, besides having it on the channel, I mean, it's 75% viewership for the city council meetings, and for that's 90,000 cable subscribers. So 75% of them are looking at the city council meetings. Not everybody's going to necessarily attend unless it's an issue that personally impacts them, but they want to know what's going on. I know we also provide video on demand, so the meetings are stored, and they're also indexed, so you can go to particular ordinances if there's something personal that you want to look at. And I know that those meetings, there's a heavy viewership of that. And in this recent situation where we had both, I mean, we're on cable television, we're on Comcast and on Verizon, and when Frontier now had an issue where their system went down for a couple of days, and it was right before a city council meeting. We got calls at the front desk, and people wanted to know if they were going to see the city council meetings, and we said, we're hoping they're going to get it on. They said, well, but we know the web address, so we can watch it on. They take it pretty personal. I mean, when you're, you know, when it's there and people know that it's there, whether it's cable or on the or you know being streamed, or if it's video on demand, people will watch it.
I mean, I personally can see people more likely to look at it on their at their own time and sitting there through 2 hours of the meeting.
So I think what I'm hearing, just so that I can get, and Terry can get some kind of consensus, I think what I'm hearing is if we decide to videotape it, we want to store it. We want to store the video so that they, that individuals can go, residents can go back and take a look at their leisure. Is that what I'm hearing?
At least for a certain amount of time.
Right.
Not necessarily forever.
Okay. So right. Well, so I guess what I'm wondering is, would the council like for Terry to take a look into that, the video indexing, if you're not video indexing, but is that what it's called? Okay, so video indexing, storage kind of situation, what kind of potential cost that would have in addition to the cameras.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And how long do you want? How far back do you want to go? How much do you want to store?
We're talking 6 months worth, a year's worth, 4 years worth?
Yeah. I'd say 6 months at the most.
That's what I was going to say. They don't get it in 6 months. They're not.
Okay. So 6 months at the most.
6 months?
Mm-hmm. At the most.
At the most.
I said maybe four.
And then you have the possibility, the capability then to archive those, what you're taking off on DVD.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would be able to. I'm sure you can do that as a backup.
Yeah.
You know. I think having 6 months, we're talking about 12 meetings. I think that's a... You know, at the maximum, I think that's a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what I'm getting? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Does that give you enough answers for right now, Terry?
For right now, that's great.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Committee reports. Bill, do you want to talk about trash? And Dan, maybe you want to talk about parking? Does that sound okay? Okay.
Trash. What did we decide in trash? Oh, we decided that, I guess in a nutshell, that the existing contract or renewing the existing contract for 1 year to give us time to review our options for the following year was probably our best option, I guess, and that's what we recommended to the Board of Works.
And the Board of Works did approve that. So we're going to re-enter into a one-year refresher, if you will, or a one-year agreement again with, at the current rates, no increase to customers with National Serval, I believe. And so in about probably September, October of next year, we'll really start to take some hard looks at maybe some different options, maybe the same options, I don't know. But... the trash committee will get back together and start taking a look at maybe some other opinions. So, James,
yeah.
How will the public know what is going on in city government? Thanks, James. So now that the paper's gone,
windmills.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Bill. Dan, do you want to report on kind of where we're at with parking?
Yeah, kind of did a little more investigation. Obviously, parking has always been a problem downtown, and some questions have arisen whether we have enough handicap parking or not enough handicap parking. So we're trying to investigate that a little further. Again, more info would be nice to hear. I know the general consensus is, you know, there are about the fees, whether $5 per ticket is enough. We've done a little research of what other communities are doing, and majority of the other communities are charging at least $10 a ticket. So, you know, it's a tough issue, you know, because everybody's visiting downtown with different issues, but, you know, trying to keep it convenient, we do have an older community that the handicap spots are very valuable for those people, so you know it's something that we have to continue to look at. So we have not came up with any complete decision, but something that we're still kind of investigating. So.
I think along with that, there's definitely some ordinance things that we're taking a look at, and I think as the parking committee kind of puts together their thoughts and opinions, having one straight ordinance change rather than having multiple ordinance changes is kind of the goal. with the business alarm issue off of Councilman Simpson's plate. He's now focusing on parking in the downtown. So we appreciate the work that he and the parking committee and Dan and they're all doing. So very good. Any other committees?
On the parking, since you're talking about that, I just wondered if it'd be a good time to bring up to see if there's an interest in purchasing this house over here at the parking lot to get some of the city's cars off the street.
Which house are we talking about?
Right next to the city parking lot, right up here.
Is it a gray one?
Huh?
Is it a gray?
White.
Two-story white.
Next to it on Market or next to it online?
Market.
Okay.
We are out of space. Nobody can, I mean, biggest share of the time, some of the employees are parked out front because there's no place to park. And if it's...
Is the house for sale?
Yes, it's been for sale.
What are they asking for?
65?
I think that's...
Oh, 65.
The original starting was 65. I mean, technically, I really want the one right over here, but can't get them to sell it. But we're just... I don't know if that would help get some of these parking issues solved, because between all the police cars and the employees, the department heads that park out here, there's just no place to park.
The question again, if we're...
What's the matter?
The question again, well, if we were interested in that, where would the money come from, and is there money there?
There is money available, and you guys have to decide where you want to come from. Take it out of the rainy day fund or the gambling money.
See, he's not even sitting
there. Yeah.
He's just troublemaker.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up. What you guys think about it?
Well, I think that's that's something the committee should look at, I guess. And
I think so, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, parking committee will take a look at that then.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Dan? Bill, you guys got that? You're on parking committee, aren't you? No? You're on parking committee.
Yeah. I'm actually chairing it.
Yeah, that's right. You're the chair of the parking committee. That's
Thanks
right.
To you.
That's right. Very good. Okay. Is there any other committees that I'm not remembering? Mm-hmm. I think that's all the committees we have at the moment. At least standing. Okay, very good. Well, department reports. We'll start with Mike Deer.
Okay. We've done some adjustments to some meter pits that were too high or too low around town. And we had one new service to turn on. We had about 30 work orders to do last week. And we also exchanged out 30 meters to put in new radio meters. And we had a main break on Saturday afternoon over on West Park Drive. Also, a service line leak in Lincoln Point we fixed. And then our new employee started on Monday. Everything else, the plants are running pretty smooth and quiet. So that's it.
Questions of Mike? Okay. Jeff, welcome.
I'll be brief. Yeah, thank you. It's kind of nice to be a part of council now. I'll be at the city retreat talking more about stormwater, some of the issues and challenges that we're seeing, and kind of dovetail with what Gene had talked about earlier this evening. Between now and then, if you have questions about his report or need some clarification, please feel free to either email me or call me. I reported to the board earlier this evening that I was very excited. In my reports, you've seen that we've been working at trying to, I'll say, acquire property that is part of the mitigation process for the 205 bigger project. And as of this morning, the property owner that we've made the option to purchase accepted that option. And so we're really happy now we can start accelerating with that project again. What that means is that we now can go to the National Park Service and DNR and show them that we have mitigated the issue. And in all likelihood, this will be very fast-paced now because they're already up to speed with the
the project and why that we're doing it. And then we can, at that point, finish up the environmental assessment and do a public hearing, bring all adjacent property owners in and explain the project fully. And at that point, well, right now we're about 60 to 65% complete on the design. So then we can share that with everybody and make tweaks as from this point on. So it's not locked in stone, but it's a very good, we're far enough along on the design that everybody will be able to understand it clearly then, for the public hearing. That's all I've got this evening.
That's great news. How long this thing's been built.
Mm-hmm. Any additional questions for Jeff? Jeff, do you want to talk at all about the economic development part?
The mayor and I met with representatives of City Ford, City Chevrolet this last week at the EDC office, and we're working through making sure that we provide them adequate utility services to store. Almost said stormwater. I'd like to charge them stormwater. sanitary sewer and water services out at the old Thompson Chevrolet area, and making sure that long-range strategies are in place to provide services beyond that and larger scale in the undeveloped, currently undeveloped areas around that. So we've been working on that. And also in the last week, we've received three inquiries from the state level on industry in the Midwest looking to expand their operations or relocate to one of the multiple areas, but Northeast Indiana is one of those potential sites. So as it stood, one of the three could have fit the bill for us, but in all likelihood not comfortably. So I guess the purpose of my reporting is that economic development is on the uptick and inquiries are out there. And I think that as long as I won't editorialize, it's starting to pick up the interest. So we'll stay on that and continue to work with the county and regional EDC offices on that.
Thank you, Jeff. Chief?
We have now completed the full department inventory, anything from firearms to flashlights, anything in between. The captains worked very hard on that and made spreadsheets so we know now what every officer is assigned, what's in each of our vehicles. So that's really nice to have, and soon we're going to meet with Rosie and go over and make sure that our sheet and what she says we have kind of match up. Well, last week was a really busy week for us, obviously, with the Walgreens robbery. I'm really pleased with the way that all happened. We had a really good response, timely response, and our guys set up a pretty quick perimeter and worked well together there at that scene. And actually, a report was turned in today by the detectives to the prosecutor's office for his review on that case. So, and that same last week as well, we also had numerous sex crimes that came in and were reported. So it was a real busy week for us, just trying to get through all those different cases. We're working to get with the training officers to get a yearly training calendar posted. So officers know when the training is going to be throughout the year, whether it's mandatory training or optional training, just so everybody's clear on what we're going to offer this year. Friday, we were meeting with the command staff just to sit down again and kind of measure our progress and see where we stand and how we're doing with our goals. And lastly, we're going to start working on trying to reorganize how we store things, whether it's case reports, evidence, bicycles, all kinds of things that we need to store, and we kind of have some limited space to do that. So we're kind of looking into ways that we can maybe reorganize the way we store files. Some of the files we have to keep pretty much forever. So we're going to start looking at those issues this week.
Additional questions for Tim? Thank you. Larry.
I will say the morale seems to be better.
I agree.
I will agree with that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Larry?
We're continuing our tree trimming services in the Big Lake area. We repaired an overhead service on Sycamore Drive out there that a branch had fallen on and bent the mass pipe and stuff, and we got that back in service. We cut down a tree on Line Street, the extra one they threw in on us, but got that taken care of. Installed an underground service on 600 South, which is these days when you get a service in, you're doing very well on account of the condition of the soil and things. If you're not stuck half the time, you're lucky. Straightened a pole on the Brown Road, which a vehicle had hit, but luckily for us, the pole wasn't damaged. It was just leaning quite a bit, so we straightened it. We replaced the copper connections on Marshall Boulevard. They were having some problems with the lights blinking. We found some loose connectors, so we replaced those. We started changing our cutouts. A lot of our problems have been with our porcelain. Actually, what it is a porcelain fuse holder. And over the years, most of them are 30 years old, and they crack, and then all of a sudden, we're out of light. So we've been, we started that project replacing the cutouts. Changed the meter base at the Community Foundation, and we changed one of our older poles on Redbud Drive. And this month we had 80 shutoffs.
With all of them or most of them being turned back on.
That there's approximately just about three that's not been turned back on.
Any other questions of Larry?
Larry, on Liberty Drive, the fiberglass street lights that are out there?
Yes.
Poles. There was an accident out there the other day that they hit a box that was came up. What's that box do?
That's a relay that controls those lights. Matter of fact, we're working on that. We got those lights on temporarily in the evenings. Tomorrow, if not tomorrow, for sure we'll have that finished by Thursday. But it was, luckily they didn't hit the pole, but hit that. That was bad enough.
So it did damage that relay, and that's what?
Yes.
Okay. She was asking me what it was, and I didn't have any idea at all. But she was glad she didn't hit the pole, too.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Chief?
As of earlier today, we had 104 runs so far. We spent some time getting bottles, every bottle, air pack bottle that we wear for our SCBAs. Had a date stamp on it that we have to go through annually and see if they're up for hydro. They take them off and they overpressure them to make sure they're not going to blow up. It makes no sense to me, but that's something engineers think needs to be done. And the state says it has to be done. So we're getting some of those bottles sent off, and when those come back, we'll rotate more bottles in so we don't deplete ourselves on air tanks. Our department has been kind of tossing around fundraiser ideas. Don't know what we're going to do. We every year give away approximately 850 pounds of candy at the courthouse on Christmas Eve at a cost of about $2,000. It's something we raise money to do. We don't use the taxpayer money. So it's just one of those things that we know that we've got to replenish the funds, and trying to come up with a fundraiser to do it is one of the tasks. I have, and Steve Thurgood and myself have finished the selection process for captains, which are the equivalent of a police sergeant. We go with in the fire service, they're known as captains. Those captains are now Toby Fralick, Brian Walker, Ron Jones. And the fire marshal position, the medical training officer, and the fire training officer, which are also captain's positions, are Chris LaRue, Doug Reed, and Mike McGregor, with safety officers of Frank Lowe and Dave Herring. That is a huge step for our department to fill those spots and make sure that we, those that maintain the positions, get the pat on the back to continue. And the new ones, it's a real nice time for them to be able to step up and show their leadership. So to those gentlemen, congratulations. Along with that, we had to go through an update and make sure that our job descriptions were in line with the positions, which is always I hate going over things like that. I think Rosie and I spent 6 hours in her office going through those. That's a diligent job that she does very well and assisted me in doing that. And then Marcia gave her input on a couple things, I think. So thank you, ladies. Other than that, I want to bore you with the rest of it, like you shared earlier.
How many runs of those are med runs? Just out of curiosity, do you know?
Of the 104, I didn't break it down. Normally about 50%, 50 to 60% actually. Fire runs nationwide are decreasing. Medical runs are increasing. Several years ago, Paul Weitzel, who is now with the, I think he's the commissioner for the state police, if I'm not mistaken, put on a class for the EMS symposium where they gave a statistic that two-thirds of the people that have hit the age of 65 in the history of the world are alive and well today. And now, you know, as they get into their golden years, they generate runs, and that's what we're seeing on a nationwide basis, is those people are starting to need services because of their aging population. Did I say something incorrect?
No.
You did fine.
Okay.
And what I will say is that the chief, and I know Marcia and Rosie have worked real hard on the captain, situation, and figuring out ways in which we can provide a little bit more structure to the current department. And so I appreciate the work that you guys have done on that. Thank you. Additional questions?
I have one question. I don't know if you're aware. I talked to someone on our street, a woman, a few weeks ago, and she asked about how you decided whether to do, like, limit parking on one side of the street or not. Basically, what I told her was that the street has to be 26 feet wide, I mean less than, to make it one side, no parking. Or, like, on Brookside, the school called and asked, you know, if we could change it. And I thought that, I don't know if Rosie told me, or I thought that someone was talking to you about possibly looking at Ravenwood.
I am no longer... The mayor restructured the parking committee.
Okay. So is that these guys too? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think you're right. Most of the... Yeah, way to delegate. I think ultimately the overall opinion is, or the overall ordinance is the 26 foot, you know, less mm-hmm. than one-sided, more than both sides. Mm-hmm. There are special exceptions to that rule. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just asking why Ravenwood.
Because that's where the lady lives. Oh. I don't wanted us to look at it.
Yeah.
So if the parking committee, if that request would like to go to the parking committee,
just
then that's perfectly fine.
Just
yeah.
To investigate it.
Yeah. And we can still use the fire chief as a help to the parking committee.
Sorry, Nicole, but I sent it your way.
I know. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well,
I just talked to her.
Yeah,
and I just talked to her and told her all that stuff, and that, you know,
okay.
that it could be investigated, but I'm not sure what could be done.
Appreciate it. Any other questions? Tom, you have anything else?
Only if you want me to.
No.
Tom, would you like to be back on the parking committee?
Let me be gentle. No. I'll do whatever you need.
Thank you. Kelly?
We've had our televising truck out working in the Columbia Shores area several days. We had some issues with the software, and I wanted to thank Terry for him and Corey worked on that and contacted the Keys company and got that back up. And and running. So we had it on Market Street, worked on an 8-inch sewer with the jet machine and the root cutter, cleaned that section of sewer up on that area, and also on Line Street, worked on a section there with televised equipment and root cutter. We were called in Saturday. The streets turned to ice about midnight. We were called in, came in, put material down, and then this morning we had some snow we took care of. And then we changed out a couple castings, one on North Washington and one on South Walnut Street. They were ones that we were looking at. They had holes in the lids that we just... It's an old casting. We just need to get them changed out. And we're going to look at doing some more of those in the future. And just been trying to stay up with patching the streets, and I think they're in pretty good shape. It hasn't been a huge freeze and fall, you know, this year, so they're not in too bad of shape. And we had 35 work orders that we completed last week. So that's all I have at this time.
Additional questions or comments?
With all the snow we've had and ice, and I mean, I assume it appears to be more than normal.
Right.
Are your salt supplies, material supplies holding up? Or?
Yeah. I have 200 more ton that I'll be purchasing by the end of the year or the end of the season. And my goal is to go into the winter with a full salt barn, or go into spring with a full salt barn, just for the fact that several years ago, the prices went way up, and we were stuck with the company that we were contracted with, or gave us a bid. No other companies would if we never purchased from them before. So we were stuck with Morton's, and we took a pretty good hit on that. And the following year, I'd asked the council for a permission to put a lean-to onto our salt barn. I can hold about 500 ton in there, and so now I have that completely full going into the spring. So the following year, if that ever happens again, we can just forget buying it. But we are on a state-wide purchase, salt purchase, and that's helped a bunch too. Thanks to Rosie and all her help with that too. That's it's been a huge help.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because Kelly and I talked about that, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
And didn't we say that the difference between what some people are paying in this on this current state contract, it's like $50,000 difference?
There was the year after it went way up. The next year is when we got on the statewide purchase. And I met with some other commissioners at Indiana's Street Commissioners Association, and some of those guys didn't do that, and they were paying anywhere from $10 to $15 more a ton than we were. So I was glad to hear that we got on board with that.
I'd just like to say, I talked to him earlier today, but even this morning I was having comments on how great our streets were, how well you were taking care of them. But I think you're doing a great job on it.
Thanks. Pass that along, Bill. Our guys do a good job, and I'll definitely pass that along to them.
Every time that there's a weather incident, we get people commenting on how the difference between our streets and others, and they always praise our streets. So.
Well, we'll continue to do the best we can, that's for sure.
Any additional questions or comments for Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Terry.
Well, as Kelly mentioned, worked with Corey, the televising computer, the computer in the televising truck crashed, and so we got a hold of the provider, and they helped us to download new firmware, get it installed, and we were able to get it back up and running. We installed a new firewall into our network. We're continuing to work on that. We should finish up Wednesday night. Tomorrow night we're going to finish up the details on that, so it should be up and running 100%. Been helping several department heads with software that will allow them to access their desktop computers remotely,
so if they need something or need to work on it that from outside, they can. IDAX came up with some software patches that we needed to add into our computer systems, and it took about 2 or 3 hours last Friday. We're always worried when we have to update them because they have a tendency to crash a lot. Continue to run maintenance software on all the network computers and the servers over the weekend. I do that each weekend because that's about the only time I can access all the computers without somebody being on them. And our new employee starts Saturday. And the last thing I got, if anybody hasn't forwarded me a bio for the website, would you please do that?
You're looking at me.
Huh?
You're looking at me.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not there. You are.
I didn't even see a request.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Did you find out what the generator issue was?
No, I just made myself a note. I will find out tomorrow.
There was a board burnout in it, and the question of the gas. Actually, I talked to Troy a little bit today about it. Do you know, Tom?
Right. There's step-down regulators that we have an initial regulator for that goes into our boilers, so the line that comes off of our boiler. Then there's another line that spurs off of that has two regulators on it to step it down for the generators. NIPSCO tests the first regulator annually. They do not test the second and third regulator that come off of that because it's not their responsibility. Nobody really knew that. And they're thinking that those two regulators are bad. He's working with Flowtech on getting those regulators checked and or replaced so that we can make sure that our fuel lines to our generators are adequate. Did I explain that so you understand it?
Yes.
Additional questions? Thank you, Terry. Mike.
Over the last week or so, we've made several process adjustments due to the weather. The temperature goes up and down, so we have to make different adjustments to the processes. Tomorrow and Wednesday, it's going to be the same training, but half my staff will go through 8 hours of training tomorrow with Square D Company, and the other half will go through training on Thursday for a new equipment that was installed with the EQ Basin. So we'll be participating on that. As the mayor knows, that my pre-treatment coordinator visited him this week and brought in his annual report, and that was signed, and that will be being sent off to IDEM. We'll also be taking some time to go over the specs for the improvement project, because we're going to be doing the inspections in-house instead of having our consulting firm doing it to save money. We will be doing that. They did provide us with forms on things that they look for and explain to us how to fill these forms out on a daily basis. So myself and my supervisor will be taking care of that to do that. Doing regular equipment maintenance and inspections, and everything's running real well and real smooth. That's all I have.
Additional questions of Mike?
I did have one more thing, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Jackie had contacted me about a tour out there. And I told her when the weather warms up and dries out a little bit that I will schedule a tour for everybody to come out and look at the facility then.
Thank you, Mike. Mark Green couldn't be here tonight. Circumstances outside of his control, but he did give me a report to give to you. Couple of things. Because of the success of the father-daughter dance, they are putting together a mother-son event on April 27th at Pages Crossing from 6 to 10 p.m. It'll be one of those, you know, all you can do putt-putting and go-karts and rides and driving range and all that kind of stuff. Cost is $32 for two people for those 4 hours, I guess. And refreshments and snacks are going to be provided for that. March 17th is the Big Green 8K, which is held at Morse's Park, and the proceeds of that go to the fireworks. The race will actually be run through the woods, so it's a little tougher than most races, I guess. And they're currently taking baseball registrations until March 3rd and softball registrations until March 17th. And then they are going to be rebidding the trail and the bridge beginning in mid-March, and hopefully they'll still be able to start construction on the bridge and trail by May and complete both of those, the bridge and trail projects, within the calendar year. As you probably noted in your past council reports, there was some pretty heavy damage that was done to the trailhead. Bathrooms, actually. Colonel Simpson, in his officer role, was there to do some investigation and things like that. What the park found, what we found, is that on most door locks, automatic locks, they have a light that flashes when the batteries are dead. There was no light that flashed on those, and the batteries are dead. So they have new batteries in them. It will be automatic locks now, and they will be changing those on a periodic basis. So that was a lesson learned, I think, for those departments. So I think that's department head reports. Mr. Mulberg, do you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay. I just want to give you the opportunity. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie? Jackie?
No.
Okay, I'm going to talk again then. I'm, as Dan and the departments and Rosie and Marcia have already heard, I'm working, because I'm on the legislative committee of IACT, we've been working really hard against a couple of bills that could hurt municipalities pretty heavily, one in regards to water aquifers that I think could pose a real risk to our community and to other communities. I've been in talks with the representatives and senator from our area, and I think they have a pretty decent understanding of what's happening. There's a couple of other redevelopment commission issues, as I've mentioned in the past, that we're working on. Most of them have been taken care of, so that's good. But we still have 3 or 4 weeks of legislative session, so you never know what will pop up. So that's a lot about what I've been working on, outside of some other things that will come up in the future. So that's good. Dan?
I have nothing.
Okay. Ben?
Nothing.
Nicole?
Nothing.
And Bill?
Nothing.
Okay, then I will go ahead and adjourn the meeting.